What's up, guys? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. Your host, Chris Chin here. We have done so much speculating over the last several months, several years, throwing out every possible name and trade bait and anyone who might help the Warriors. I can honestly say, at least I haven't, and I know almost no Warriors fan has mentioned the name Josh Giddey until about the last 24 hours when one Jake Fisher basically mentioned that the Warriors have reached out to the Bulls and to Giddey's camp to talk about a Giddey for Kuminga swap. I guess we've hit our breaking point where you just have explored every avenue and turn over every leaf and you find yourself looking to another team who is essentially in the same situation as yourself, a team with a $25 million per year-ish restricted free agent that you haven't been able to come to deals with. And there's not much else out there. So why not just trade positions, trade seats, and swap those players for each other? And if nothing else, it's a change of scenery for both. And a very different type of player, albeit in their 4 years, pretty much aligned in terms of asset value. We already know Giddey picked one pick before Kuminga. Fisher broke the news that, I don't know if he broke it, but basically said that the Warriors were prepared to take Giddey had the Thunder taken Kuminga instead. Interesting thought experiment to see how that would have played out up until this point, but it might not be a hypothetical anymore if the Warriors do pull the trigger on this. Let's take a look at what we think, or at least what I think in terms of this trade, whether it helps, hurts, net neutral for this for the Warriors. It's hard to wrap my mind around. I'm not going to lie. I've watched a decent amount of Josh Giddey. A lot of it was with his earlier days with the Thunder, not as much with the Bulls recently. Watched a bit of film recently, and like most players you find around the league, especially kind of ball dominant players, most of the highlights that you're going to see are in the pick and roll, out of pick and roll action. So it's hard to always imagine the fit in this Warrior system, and it's never easy to evaluate any player in terms of how would it play in a motion offense with Steph Curry until you actually see it. We just ran that thought experiment with Dennis Schroeder last year, and it didn't really work, even though we thought it would. And again, it's Josh Giddey brings elements that you think Steve Kerr might love, elements that might be great in this offense. He also brings a whole bunch of negative aspects, especially on defense, and essentially the roles of a 3-and-D player that you would love for the Warriors to find. That's not who Giddey is. So the way I'm going to break it down is let's talk a bit about first why the Warriors would make this move, and then we're going to talk about why they wouldn't make the move, and we'll kind of break down Giddey and Kuminga and try to compare what we can, although again, they're very different players. The reason why the Warriors would make the move, obviously, first off, we already talked about it. The Kuminga situation has basically hit a stalemate. Worst case scenario, and maybe this is the realistic scenario, is that if Kuminga returns, whether it be on the qualifying offer or just signs a contract with the Warriors, the thought is that he's going to be either disgruntled, not utilized well in the role that he wants, doesn't play well, whatever the case may be, there's just a very high probability that you're not going to get even what Kuminga's been in the past. Even if you play in full minutes, who knows how that's going to go. So there's just so many question marks, and the floor is basically as low as it can possibly be. If you bring him back, it doesn't work out for all the reasons that we are sort of projecting, and then you're just stuck with Kuminga forever and you can't do anything else in the Steph Curry window. That's the reason why the Warriors, if the situation was that bad and you're projecting that, that's the reason just to shake the dice and just start over and just get something of somewhat equal value and assets close enough and try something new. In terms of Giddey the player, well, you're getting what the Warriors need. Maybe I'd say like the third or fourth thing they need most, and that's more playmaking, ball handling. When Steph Curry, when Jimmy Butler's not on the floor, we talked about it in the last episode covering about why I would probably do something for Malik Monk. It's because you're getting some extra playmaking, someone who can get downhill, get to the hoop, create advantages for others so that then 3-point shots become open, and you already know why. Giddy's going to do that great. He has great vision. I don't know, again, outside of pick and roll, how that vision applies in like a motion offense, but I tend to believe that he's going to be A-minus level connector, passer, and just offensive piece in the system. And then he also gives you a little pick and roll option as well. Also, he shot better last year. We're going to talk a little bit more about a shot, but he shot 37%. If we believe in that 37%, now he might have a little bit more of an off-ball role in the offense. But that's where my problem lies. We have no idea what he's going to be as an off-ball player with the Warriors. We know he can be good on ball. He's not Luka Doncic, but he does have good positional size. He can see over defenses. He can make a lot of the passes that Steph can't even make just by being taller and being able to see a little bit more and access the floor a little bit more. So for those reasons, he might be an upgrade on Kuminga to this Warriors offense. He probably is an upgrade to the offense in terms of just, he is an upgrade in terms of raising everyone else around him and making others better. In terms of on-ball scoring, no, he's not going to be what Kuminga is. In terms of ball handling, yeah, anytime he has the ball, you're taking the ball out of Steph's hands. You're taking the ball to Jimmy's hands. Even you take the ball out of Pajemski's hands, who right now is that third playmaker. Yeah, he's an upgrade in terms of playmaking on Pajemski, but how much more? Seven assists. Pretty good. Pajemski, more like a four and a half assist type guy, gives you a bit more. However, you just don't know exactly how that's going to play out when you start reducing touches for everyone. You have really not many other shooters on the floor in like Giddy and Jimmy and Draymond lineups. Like, does that work? I still think of Giddy as a non-shooter. So that's the problem here. It's like, do we trust Giddy as a shooter? He shot 45% from three the second half post All-Star break last season. Before that, for his career, 32%. What do we really believe here? I'll throw this out there. John Kuminga in his second year shot 37% from three. Since then, he's been at 32, and then last year, below 31% 3-point shooter. I go to the eye test with me, and I know Giddy's made maybe some slight adjustments, like hand placement on the ball and kind of a little different release, which is the reason for some improvement, but it's still a push shot. It's a slow shot. I don't see the catch and shoot. It just doesn't look very fluid. And if I'm seeing it, I can guarantee you the other teams are seeing that too. And it just, whether it goes in or not, you're just not, it doesn't command the spacing. It doesn't command the gravity that someone like a Steph Curry or a Klay Thompson would command. All right, going back to kind of the pros of Giddy though, before we start digressing, and I'm revealing my hand here in terms of how I really feel about Giddy and this trade. But positional size and rebounding, A plus plus, eight. Over eight rebounds per game, 6'8". You can call him a point guard on offense. I mean, he's really just kind of a combo ball handler. Defensively, he would be more of like a small forward type defender. He's not fast or good enough to be guarding perimeter. So he gives you some size, not a shot blocker, but again, with a 6'11 wingspan, he can be a disruptor in terms of steals and occasionally contest at the rim. Not strong, not laterally quick, not great attention to detail. I've been scouring Josh Giddey defensive articles. Improvement because he wants to be better as of January 2025 and March 2025 articles. However, in both of them, he critiques himself as saying, I just miss details on defense. I'm working to get better, but it's just something that you have to keep doing. And essentially, he's starting to put more effort into his defense, which is, more than half the battle, but I think just in terms of tools, in terms of just natural defensive instincts and not there. And for everything we want to say about Kuminga as an off-ball defender, Giddey is five times worse. Giddey's the type of guy where with Oklahoma City, he just wouldn't finish games because teams would target him in the pick and roll every single play. We cannot have someone like that where you're just the target. In addition to Steph, who I think is a much better defender than Giddey, you just have too many targets in isolation out there on defense, especially towards the end of games. Giddey would probably not be in many closing lineups. Which leads me to my, I guess let's flip the script here. Those are the reasons the Warriors would do this. Let's get into the reasons why I wouldn't do this trade. Although if they did it, I wouldn't be distraught, but I would be a little bit disappointed. He doesn't fit many of the lineups. I mean, we talked about this, right? You're in every closing lineup, obviously, if you have Steph, you have Jimmy, you have Draymond, and then if Giddey's in there, you can't play Pajemski because just the athleticism, right? You have Curry, Pajemski, and Giddey as your guards and wings. There's just not enough athleticism. There's not enough strength. Pods is a decent defender, but that, I think you already know, that doesn't work on defense. It also doesn't work on offense. You have, again, Curry, Potts, Giddey, Butler. Those are all guys that are good with the ball in their hands. Giddey, Butler, not great off-ball players. Potts, getting better with his shot, decent enough off-ball player, but not elite by any means. And then you have Draymond out there as well, who we already know what Draymond is, both on and off the ball. That lineup doesn't work. Honestly, it's hard to play mini lineups where Pods and Giddey are together. There's a lot of overlapping skills, like being that secondary playmaker, being kind of a hustle player. I also like Giddey does hustle. He's very competitive, and they both have that. They'll get you some extra possessions, and they both rebound very well. But again, you know, they're not isolation scorers. They're not, neither is a great scorer. Giddey's like a 14-point guy. I think with less usage and kind of with this Warriors team, you're probably talking about a 12, 13-point guy. Pods might be a little bit better scoring. But my point is that there was a lot of overlap in those two, and it's really hard to put a redundant player out there when you already have a lack of shooting elsewhere in your front court, especially because neither is a good spacer. So lineups, I know Kuminga doesn't fit lineups great, but he at least brings you a little bit more athleticism and he kind of just gives you a different look of something that you don't already have. So that's my first critique of why I don't love the Giddey trade. Second, I touched on a little bit earlier, the Warriors need they need 3-and-D players. Giddey is essentially neither of those. In fact, he is a far negative defensive player and is a three-point shooter. We already talked about his shooting. I would still call him a C plus at best when he's shooting. I guess I would expect 34, maybe 35%, which again is not good enough. Also, you make this trade. Let's talk about the depth, right? Guards versus forwards. Warriors, if they do go get Melton, you're talking about a team with good guard depth already with Curry, Melton, Pajemski, Buddy Hield. Then you would add Giddey to that. Forwards right now, I mean, you have Jimmy, you have, I'm not going to count Gi Santos, you have Moses Moody, maybe you're bringing back GP2, who really knows, but you're thin at that forward position if you lose Kuminga. And in terms of positional size and just straight up athleticism, who's, other than Jimmy Butler, who is, you know, a shell of the former athleticism at his peak, who's the best athlete on this team when you lose Kuminga? Draymond, Moody, Steph. There's not much athleticism. There's no explosiveness. Giddey doesn't help that at all. Yeah, he's got some length, but man, I think in terms of just athleticism and just being able to get out and transition and have someone that, you know, when your team gets turnovers, those need to be open court buckets. That's what Kuminga brings to this team, especially during the regular season where there's a lot more transition play. You're going to lose a lot of that transition scoring and just that raw athleticism and just play finishing that Jonathan Kuminga gives you. Kuminga can also basically run the baseline and be the lob threat, kind of a little vertical spacing too in certain lineups. You saw that. Giddey's not a terrible off-ball cutter, but it's more around the perimeter. You're not seeing really back cuts. when you're hitting him on a cut, you're not seeing a 100% finish like you do out of Kuminga, who could finish great at the rim or get fouled. And essentially, that's the other point too, is you're losing a lot of getting to the line if you lose Kuminga. Giddey can get to the line a little bit. Decent free throw shooter, better than Kuminga, but again, those are key assets that you're basically wiping points off the board by losing Kuminga that I don't know Giddey necessarily replaces. So offensively, yeah, he connects and raises people a little bit more, but in terms of scoring and athleticism and everything he does for your forward depth, you kind of can't re get rid of Kuminga for a guy like Giddey. Now, flipping back to the other side. Asset wise, if the Warriors want to think of this as trade assets going forward, right? You're probably not thinking of Kuminga as a guy you're keeping for at least past the trade deadline next year, more or less, or at least the past next offseason. If you think of Giddey the same way, pretty decent asset value depending on which team you're dealing with. Some teams might like Giddey more for their style, some might like Kuminga more. So in a sense, yeah, you're kind of washing your hands of this Kuminga tarnish. You're getting Giddey and you're kind of seeing what you got. Maybe it works with you, but at the very least, you've at least gotten to a new situation with a comparable trade asset where you can still go make a supplementary move happen. Unless the Warriors have some sort of lead on who might like Giddey and you have some interest already around the league, I don't know that you can count on that. So put a pin in that thought. If we're thinking about it as trade assets, who has more upside long term? I think we're all saying John than Kuminga, right? The athleticism, just the upside. Yeah, Giddey has some upside. It's the reason, people initially said, oh, this guy's the next Luka Doncic. That's not the case. He can't score like Luka. He can't average 32 points per game in the playoffs or any game, really. So the upside alone, if everything else is a wash, makes it worth holding on to Kuminga in this trade and just hoping that something comes along. Think about at their age, right? Entering your fifth year, which player is more likely to improve more in the next couple of years? Basically, who's more likely to have a true breakout? Is it somebody who is athletic, jumps out the gym, hasn't played a ton of basketball, didn't play college basketball, didn't really, I guess neither played American college basketball. But essentially, my point is that Kuminga's still pretty raw. And the upside is, hey, this guy gets a little bit of experience and, like a, say, like a Jaylen Brown, puts it all together come his fifth, sixth season. Hopefully, it would have come along sooner than that. But it's still very possible that Kuminga makes a breakthrough. And you do see glimpses, right? He's starting to see the floor a little bit better. Decision making's getting a little bit better on both sides of the floor. I skipped over one really important point. Let me finish making this point, and then I'll get to the other number one thing. On the defensive side, Kuminga's shown a lot of growth. And versus Giddey, who is a skills guy, right? He doesn't have raw abilities, raw athleticism. He can't jump out the gym, but he's got those skills. I tend to believe that someone with more upside, the raw potential is someone with the athleticism that can play more, that can, with experience, get better and grow. You guys get my points. The other point, which is even more important, is Jonathan Kuminga's defensive potential. Off ball, yeah, he can get a bit better. He needs to wake up and learn how to play team defense a bit better. But the on ball point of attack defense, you saw the sky high potential. I'm sorry I didn't even lead with this point because this is the most important point. Josh Giddey is never going to, in the playoffs, be able to guard Anthony Edwards and essentially hold him, to whatever Kuminga held Anthony Edwards to, well below average for Ant-Man standards. You get that in Kuminga. Kuminga, the appeal of him and any just dominant athlete coming out of college or the G League is that they may become an elite point of attack on ball defender because they are just stronger, faster, and more athletic than everybody else. And they can figure out the effort, they can figure out the positioning, and they do their homework. Now you have all the tools to be an all defensive team, all defensive team player. Not saying Kuminga is going to, but there is the chance that he does just lean into being an elite defender, and that's what he hangs his hat on, and that's how he's going to see more minutes. And if you just get a little bit better on decisions and off ball and all those other things that we see out of him, now you have a complete player. Giddy's never going to get to that point. At best, he becomes a league average defender where, he's tolerable, but he's never going to be a point of attack guy. He's never going to be on Anthony Edwards. And for all those reasons, this is why I would not do Kuminga for Giddy. Unless it's a lost cause with Kuminga and there's no other ifs, ands, or buts about it. Unless the Warriors essentially think Kuminga's not even going to play for us next year. He's not going to give us his best. It is a lost cause. It's too fractured. I don't believe that's the cause, but that's the case. But if it was, that's why you explore trading for Giddy. And I sure hope that that's not the case in this. So, verdict is hold on to Kuminga. But if you trade for Giddy, you better have some supplementary moves down the road to make something else happen because I don't see that as a long-term fit. All right, what do you guys think? Leave it in the comments. Let me know, would you trade for Kuminga for Giddy? Is it time to cut bait and essentially get whatever you can for Kuminga? Let me know. And until next time, I've been Chris Chin. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.